I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and you know, good thing, because as Democrats shut down available sources of electricity, you know, the thing that powers the car. Yeah. I mean, we've got Doug Burgum, and I played the audio last week warning, look, we are not too far off being Spain because, you know, we are still collapse the grid. I mean, we can't plug these cars in and think they're going to charge and that we're going to run factories too. I mean, it's not going to happen unless we expand capacity. We haven't. In fact, we've been shutting it down. So, oh, yeah. Right. And it, you know, like if food prices went up because that's what they haul, you know, it's okay. It's okay. It'd be fine. Well, the Democrats, it was half-baked. It didn't work out. By the way, speaking of half-baked, after the Brussels and Spain, I'm sorry, the Portugal, no, was it Brussels? Yeah, I know it was Spain. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking out. I'm sorry. I've got it right here. So it was two countries' grids went down. Started off with Spain. What was it? Was it Portugal? Yeah, okay. Portugal and Spain. Spain bragged that it was going 100% renewable, so that means wind or solar. That ended disastrously with everyone in the dark and people stranded in the subway. Unfortunately, it is the plan Democrats have for this country. Germany just took a look at that and went, you know, nuclear power might not be so bad. And unfortunately, in the EU, you've got to get EU permission. 3 weeks after widespread power grid failures across Portugal and Spain, triggered by unreliable solar and wind power, Germany appears to be sharply recalibrating its energy stance. It had been blocking France from getting nuclear power, like adding to its arsenal, basically, of nuclear power. And now they have reversed longstanding opposition to nuclear power. Yeah, I mean, Germany is going to be like, you know, a pastoral farming country at the rate we're going. That assumes that growing food is allowed because it does generate, you know, carbon gases and stuff, like climate gases. I mean, this has been an absolute disaster. So finally facing, and Zero Hedge puts it right, this is a huge embarrassment for the left in Europe. This was not supposed to happen. So they're kind of quietly backing off that and going, you know, maybe we can do some nuclear. So that's all going on. Meanwhile, I just want to point this out really quickly because it's a huge thing, and especially when you know the background. Speaking of Europe, the Telegram CEO says, Pavel Durov, who, as you know, was arrested in France, says the French government sought to force Telegram to block conservative voices in Romania ahead of the country's presidential runoff. That's fully loaded because he is awaiting trial there. Now, he's left the country, so I don't know if he's going to actually show up for trial, but he's still got charges. And he has maintained he would not have charges if he would censor conservatives worldwide. And the request, the ask for that, started by the FBI. They showed up at his home uninvited one Saturday morning. They just, bam, walk on that he's eating breakfast, no invitation. And they want to know, will he build them a back door so that they can go in and censor? He says no. And look what happened to him. They pick him up in France as soon as he flies in. Arrested. And what are they doing? Same thing. This is an international cabal who cannot compete in the marketplace of ideas. So the French government, he said, sought to make Telegram block conservative voices in Romania ahead of the country's presidential runoff. Okay, wait, so what's going on here? Why do the French care about Romania? Okay, well, France and Germany are the two big power players in the EU, and they are terrified of the spread of populism. It's very, very popular. In Romania, the populist/conservative candidate won the election, hands down, won the election. And they say just qualified it. They said, well, the Russians interfered, which was a crock. So then he tries to win again, and they have the head of their intel agencies arrest him. They had to run another member of his party. So they're trying to arrest to stop populism/conservatism in the Trump mold from getting a toehold in Europe, and this is their way, just censor conservatives.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And it started with the FBI. And if the FBI had just, if he had just agreed to build the back door, I guarantee he wouldn't have been arrested in France because they could have all used it. They worked together. Speaking of which, John Solomon, and folks, this is going to be an ongoing battle. From now on, whenever they win, we're going to lose our basic human rights for however long they hold office. And let me tell you why. John Solomon at Just the News just broke this, that one of the two National Endowment for Democracy grantees, the Global Information Disinformation Index, one of their internal reports has leaked. They bragged that using government pressure, they managed to demonetize right-wing news sites to the tune of $100 million in revenue. And basically what that means is, since the government can't constitutionally call up and threaten Google, threaten YouTube, threaten advertisers, they just fund these NGOs and have them go do it. And be a shame if you were audited. Be a shame if the SEC took a look at what you're doing there. It's all unsaid when they call. You know who they're from. They're from the government. Well, the Global Disinformation Index used your tax dollars to pressure advertisers and also major advertising platforms, including search engines and YouTube, not to put content from conservative news outlets up, including, listen to who they demonetized. This is the outrage of it. New York Post? You mean the people who got the Hunter Biden laptop story right? When you told us it was disinformation, those people? Yeah, them. Daily Caller, Breitbart, the usual suspects. So your tax dollars was used by the Biden administration to silence your media. Right, right. Yeah, no, Trump's a fascist. Totally. Totally. The right people have to be censored. And it's not fascism then. It's just good information. Protection of democracy, which even Bernie Sanders admits we don't actually live in one of those. Yes. This is the funny thing. I mean, for him to be out, like, you know, how many cities has he hit in his oligarchy tour? He admits the Democrat Party is really the threat to democracy. Oh my gosh. I've been trying to play that every hour just so people can hear. Yeah, he actually said it on a podcast.
But then could we not also say, if ostensibly there hasn't been a fair primary for the Democrats since 2008, are they not also a threat to democracy? Yes. We often hear.
Fair enough. That is. Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that point.
Well, he sure left him out during the anti-oligarchy tour. No, but the host of that podcast twice got Sanders to admit, look, they've been controlling the primaries. The primaries have been rigged in the Democrat Party since at least, you know, 2008 was the last honest election they had. And he's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And he even says, yeah, my wife thinks so too. Why? Because he would have been the nominee. That's the scary thing. But he would have been the nominee if they hadn't interfered, the group of globalist elites who run the Democrat Party. And by the way, censor everybody. And for my left-wing troll friends, let me just tell you, you think they won't censor you to hang on to power? They just need to shut us up first. So good to know. $100 million in revenue. Government used my money to block my media from getting it. Awesome. Great. Fantastic.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now, and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.